Tell me how you'd strangle me.
What? I said, my eyes snapping to his.
You heard me. I want to know. Help prepare me for the attack.
I knew what he was doing, but I needed the diversion. I'd make Griffin smile. Shock alone would be enough to distract you. Then I'd squeeze the life out of your thick neck.
Cain laughed hard, his addicting, hearty laugh. I wanted to chew on it, stuff it into my mouth so nobody else could have it. Keep going. This is my new favorite pastime, death by bird.
I screwed my eyes shut and leaned back once more. Breathe in, breathe out. Well, you'd be dead then, so I'd take over the Onyx Kingdom and rule with Barney by my side.
At his wheeze, I peered one eye open. Tears had gathered in the corners of his eyes.
My lips perked up, too. His laugh was contagious. One more slow inhale, and finally, the adrenaline abated. I was still on edge, but my heart rate had slowed, and I could swallow again. I blew out a breath. Thank you.
He smiled that crooked smile at me, wiping tears from his eyes. No, thank you.
Slowly, he rubbed circles along my palm with his thumb. The sensation was meant to calm me, but I only felt liquid heat course through my veins from the slight contact. I pulled my hand from his.
Don't worry, Bird. We won't be in here long. They'll be looking for us. Someone has to notice the king is missing eventually.
Resting my forehead on uptucked knees, I shuddered out an exhale. I heard him stand and peered up to see Cain chugging from a birch wine bottle. The long column of his throat glistened with sweat in the dim cellar lighting as he drank. He took a final swig and pointed the bottle in my direction.
Can I offer you a drink?
You really can't get that door open? He took a seat next to me, passing the wine. A flicker of worry passed over his expression, there and gone in an instant.
I'm afraid not.
The liquid was bitter and heavy on my tongue. I drank and drank, hoping the spirit would relieve even a little of the tension coiled in my body. The guilt that had crept in once again for having fun with him, even if I was trying to suppress sheer, unrelenting panic.
All right, that's enough.
Cain motioned for the wine. I continued to sip until it was empty. I was going to need all the help I could get, stuck in here with him.
Let's try another form of distraction, Cain said, prying the bottle from my hands. My body quickly felt the effects of the spirit, loosening and thrumming with a subtle buzz. I looked over at Cain for what felt like the first time since we were trapped in here.
His dark hair was pushed out of his face, damp from sweat and possibly spilled wine. His crown was slightly askew. Before I knew what I was doing, I reached up and carefully set it straight on his head. His remarkable quicksilver eyes studied my face. I drew my hand back and let it fall lifelessly into my lap. Want to lecture me on all I don't understand about the continent and how pathetic I am?
Don't sell yourself so short, Bird. I'm never trying to insult you. You have no idea how exceptional I think you are. I snorted. What a line. Trust me, there's nothing special about me.
He cleared his throat and looked up at the ceiling, as if he were asking some unknown entity to grant him strength.
He, too, must have been miserable about our predicament.
What did you actually have in mind, for a distraction? I asked.
I'm not sure. What do you and your pretty redhead friend do for fun?
A genuine laugh burst out of me, and I wasn't even sure why. I reached for a second bottle above my head and yanked it open.
What is so funny? Cain asked. Besides you guzzling through the castle's most expensive wine as if it were water.
I laughed harder and took another mouthful. I don't know, I giggled. I think it's funny that you don't know how to have fun.
Cain looked at me in pretend outrage. It was painfully adorable.
using my pond confession against me, it seems. I used to have loads of fun. I was sort of known for it, actually. I snorted. Yeah, that's not the kind of fun Mari and I have. That is devastating news. For some reason, I could not keep it together. I doubled over, laughing. Keep it in your trousers, Kane. You're not her type. I'm everyone's type. I faked a dry heave, and this time Kane was the one to laugh. The noise was a deep rumble from his chest, and a smile glowed in his eyes. I know. It's the worst, I said. Ah, my poor jealous bird. I told you, I'm not interested in the princess anymore. I shook my head. He had it all wrong. I wasn't talking about her, I was talking about... Then my brain stopped working. Any more? I asked, barely keeping the horror at bay. He grimaced.
We have spent some time together, intimately, many years ago.
I gasped like I was in a bad theater production, and Kane laughed harder. I tried to laugh with him, but the image of them together made me want to set myself on fire. Her long white hair threaded through his strong hands. His grunts of pleasure as he buried himself between her, Arwen. Mercifully, he interrupted my revolting train of thought. It was nothing. I had no feelings for her. Oh, so you used her? He threw his head backward, smacking into the wine barrels behind us and wincing.
Always so difficult. It was mutual, an agreement between old friends. It was before.
Before what? I asked, guarded hope lilting my words. His eyes narrowed on my lips, but he didn't answer. For a moment, all I heard was the steady drip of spilled wine falling on the stone floor.
You don't have much of a right to be jealous anyway, he finally said, finishing off the next bottle. Seeing as you're still so hung up on that human filth in the cells beneath us.
The thought of Halden killed my happy buzz almost immediately. I looked down at my hands. I don't think he's below us anymore.
Not an earthquake, then?
I shook my head.
And you knew?
I couldn't bear to look up and see his rage at my betrayal. I didn't say anything.
Well, I hope for your sake he escaped. If my men caught him, he won't live to see daybreak.
I turned my face farther away from Kane, so he couldn't see my expression. It would give away the pain that I felt at the thought of Halden's death. What did they want in the vault? I asked.
Something that hasn't been there for a long while.
Kane stood and began to pace in the small space. He reminded me of a caged beast, hackles raised and power rippling off him. The musty cellar with its low ceiling was too small to hold all of him in. He cursed under his breath and turned to me.
I have to leave tomorrow. I'll be back as quickly as I can. But, Arwen, don't go chasing after him while I'm gone.
He knelt down.
There is evil lurking beyond these walls, waiting for you to make a single misstep.
I turned his plea over in my mind. I had heard these warnings before, but Halden's voice echoed in my ears.
The woods aren't as dangerous as I'm sure they've led you to believe.
He could tell I didn't believe him. I could see it in his eyes. He looked like he was on the precipice of an enormously difficult decision.
I have to explain something to you.
I wanted to urge him to continue. I'd kill for answers, but felt at any moment he might change his mind.
Arwen.
He paused, running his hands through his hair in exasperation.
He's a murderer.
19. A sickening shiver kissed down my spine. What was he talking about? I shook my head.
No, you're a murderer.
Kane looked around in exasperation.
Perhaps so, but I do not make a habit of killing innocents in cold blood.
My body went rigid.
Neither does Halden. He was an assassin for the Amber King. I'm
sure you have assassins.
I could hear my voice rising in pitch. Kane's face hardened. I remembered what sheer power he possessed and felt myself shrink backward.
What is your obsession with comparing us? I'm not claiming to be anything I'm not.
When I didn't respond, he softened, but his tone was still bitter.
Your precious King Gareth sent Halden's unit into Onyx to kill Fae.
My entire body seized. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. I pressed my hands against the cool stone floor to ground myself.
I didn't tell you because it is a burden to understand what is truly at stake. I didn't wish to hurt you, but watching you pine over the spineless twit is making me aggravated.
The room wouldn't stay still. My heart spun in my chest. I swallowed a lump in my throat. They're real?
How much do you know of them, the Fae?
Not much, I admitted, still reeling. Ancient, violent creatures. Very scary, very old, very dead.
Centuries ago, there was an entire realm of them. Mortals, too. But the Fae were a dying breed, and eventually their king was the last true Fae that lived.
I had gone completely rigid. My eyes felt as wide as the sea, and I tried to get a handle on my breathing and my swimming thoughts.
The wine was really not helping.
What does that mean, true Fae?
He was full-blooded, no mortal heritage, but he was the last one. Even his children weren't full-blooded, since his queen's grandmother had been a witch. The land they inhabited, the Fae realm, was growing bare of resources. Fae children were rare, but mortals were fertile, and the more mortal children born into the realm, the more mouths to feed, homes to build, and wars to fight. The realm functioned on a unique Fae power called light, which every Fae was born with. It could be bottled and sold, used to fuel anything. It could heal, build, destroy, but it came to them from deep within the Fae land, and it wasn't infinite. That's why fairies aren't born here in Evendale. With fewer Fae, light grew rarer and even more valuable. Soon, the realm couldn't support the influx of people, turning the once magical world into a barren wasteland. Ash rained from the sky, lush green meadows turned to cracked, dry earth, earthquakes, fire rain, and the birth of demons that thrived in such conditions plagued the realm. The people starved and suffered. They begged the Fae King, Lazarus, to be kinder to the realm, to ration the light, to find other resources, but he refused.
How do I not know any of this? The story was like an old cautionary tale. I thought better of my question. Or how do scholars and bookworms like Mari not know any of this?
Only high-ranking nobles and royalty from Onyx know the truth. And you.
Warmth flashed across his face. My heart fluttered. Why only Onyx? I asked.
When refugees from the realm began to make their way over to Evendale, Onyx was the closest kingdom. Some traveled instantly with light or witch magic. Others braced themselves for the long and treacherous journey across forbidden lands and seas. Few survived. When Lazarus realized his subjects were leaving, he built a wall to keep his people in. He convinced them it kept them safe from all those who wished to steal their light. A seer, a type of Fae whose power draws visions from the future, was pulled from slumber one night to deliver a prophecy.
The seer was Fae, and the prophecy Kane had referenced all those months ago had been about the Fae King. But what did that have to do with him, or Halden?
A small but powerful group used her foresight to lead a rebellion to save the realm, but it failed. He clenched his jaw. Thousands died. In their retreat, a mere 100 Fae got out and came here to Onyx to start fresh. Which is why there are still Fae and halflings in the kingdom to this day.
Horror at his words made my heart rattle in my chest. How did they get out? I asked. His eyes had turned sorrowful. at enormous personal cost.
My mind was reeling. All along, the Fae had been real, and some even lived here, today, in Onyx. I shook my head, unable to find adequate words for my shock. I have about 100 questions, I said, staring at the barrels of wine in front of me. Kane's answering smirk said, "What a surprise." But what does this history lesson have to do with Halden?
His pupils flared. About 3 years ago, my spies informed me that King Gareth had struck a deal with King Lazarus. Icy dread slunk down my spine.
He's still alive?
Any Fae that are more than half-blooded can live for a very long time. Lazarus is probably encroaching on a millennium. He promised Gareth and his highest dignitaries untold power, riches, and light in return for fresh land devoid of people.
How? I didn't know how to finish the sentence. Unimaginable horror washed over me. I reached for another bottle of birch wine.
Lazarus will have no problem turning an entire mortal kingdom to ash if it means a fresh start for the Fae left in his kingdom, said Cain, watching a stream of spilled wine slowly crawl across the dusty cellar floor.
So he destroyed his world with greed, and now that it can no longer serve him, he wants to take ours?
Cain's jaw clenched. Exactly. I tried to convince Gareth that he couldn't trust Lazarus, that I could give him any riches he desired. But the imbecile wouldn't be swayed. Now, Lazarus and Gareth are gathering more allies to wage war on Evendel.
I still don't understand why Gareth and Lazarus would want the Fae murdered. Aren't those Lazarus's people? His subjects?
Cain heaved a heavy sigh. They're his defectors. Any Fae here in Onyx or otherwise are living proof of those that escaped his realm. Cain rubbed his jaw in thought. He's a very vengeful king. Likely makes everything you once thought about me look like child's play.
Guilt bubbled up inside me. Is that why Onyx attacked Amber? Those with Fae blood live in your kingdom, and Gareth was murdering them? Hadn't Halden said something like that? My mind was like tangled bedsheets. I couldn't believe Halden had lied to me. I wanted to punch him in the face.
In part, it's more complicated than that.
It always was. Why are you here then, and not in Willow Ridge protecting your people?
Cain ran a hand down his face, clearly regretting his decision to share anything with me. The Fae King wants me, even more than the defectors. I'm keeping my city safe by staying here, in the Stronghold, away from them.
Fear that I never expected crept into my soul. Fear of my own King Gareth, of what might happen if his army took the castle. Are we safe here?
For now, unless the half-wit tells Gareth I'm here.
It wasn't the most comforting answer. Great, I said, my voice dripping with sarcasm. I helped set free a murderer who has been killing innocents, and I get the pleasure of being a prisoner in a castle that is doomed to fall any day now to a vicious Fae king because of it. I'm on quite the roll.
Cain scoffed. We both know you haven't been a prisoner here in a long time. Yet you stay.
The too familiar stab of guilt bloomed in my chest once more. I shouldn't tell him. I didn't have to tell him anything. But still, the words pressed on my tongue as he beheld me with soft curiosity. No, he had kept so much from me, I didn't owe him anything. Why did I feel the need to? I was going to leave, I blurted. Tonight. Damned wine. Cain's expression was unreadable. But I ended up stuck in here, so Halden's likely gone without me. I wouldn't have known Cain's fury had I not glanced at his hands. His knuckles were rigid and white along his fists as he clenched and unclenched his palms. I don't understand why it matters to you. I'm not your property.
I know that,
He sounded exasperated. And I'm grateful that you are trying to find my family, and I'm not as miserable here as a healer as I thought I would be, but you have to understand. Halden was like family. I had to leave with him if I had a chance.
I know.
And I had just...
Arwen?
He turned to face me, his expression one of frustration more than rage. I am not angry that you planned to leave.
I am angry that the imbecile left you behind.
Now I was completely confused, and it was not the wine's fault. What? You wanted me to leave with a fairy murderer? Kane's mouth quirked slightly.
No, he said, trying for patience. Never mind.
I shook my head. He was upset about my honor. I almost laughed. After everything, he hadn't really been a monster. Not at all. So all the things I thought of you, that the entire continent thought, the war you waged, it was all to fight this Fey King? Well, he said ruefully, a slight grin working its way onto his face.
Don't chalk it all up to virtue. I am still a bit of a prick.
I couldn't even muster a smile at his words. I was still trying to put all the pieces together in my mind. The Fey, the upcoming war, the even more wicked king, the prophecy. I recalled the words that had kept me up so many nights here in Shadowhold. You know the seer's words as well as I do. Time is running out. We have less than a year. What did the prophecy foretell?
That is a conversation for another day.
His tired gaze raked down the column of my throat.
A more sober day.
I nodded. It was enough information. I wasn't sure I could take any more. He finished the next bottle of birch wine and lay back against the wall beside me, closing his eyes. After long minutes passed, like water droplets sliding off a sweating glass, my mind spinning with knowledge of all that I had misunderstood, I couldn't stand the silence anymore. Have we been in here for 100 years? I asked, watching him rest. His face was magnificent, as if it had been carved by the stones themselves. I wondered if he felt any relief in sharing so much with me, or if that intimacy had scared him, made him feel weak, as he had once feared.
Yes, he said, eyes still closed.
Why are you staring at me? I looked away instantly. I'm not.
It's only fair. I've stared at you. Most of the time, I can't seem to look at anything else.
I turned to face him again and found him looking right at me, just as he said. Like this, our faces were far too close together. I needed to pull away, but felt inexplicably tied to his gaze. His restless eyes studied mine, slate gray on olive green, and my heart hammered at my chest. His hand made its way to my face, carefully, as if not to spook me. He brushed a thumb against my cheek, and I let out an involuntary hum. Kane's expression shifted. I knew it was need in his eyes, and that they reflected the need in my own. I couldn't deny it a minute longer. The attraction I felt for him was like a dull ache that never left me. I licked my bottom lip, in hopes of conveying exactly what I wanted. Had I been a little braver, or had one more swig of wine, I might have just taken it for myself. But there was something about him that was still frightening, only maybe now for different reasons. He watched as my tongue caressed my bottom lip, and his hand laced through my hair, cupping the side of my face, tightening just enough to make my toes curl. I must have whimpered, because he pulled himself closer to me until I could feel the heat of his breath on my mouth. He smelled like wine, leather, and mint. I closed my eyes and leaned into his touch.
Oh, for fuck's sake! An exasperated male voice came from the doorway, which had been wrenched open.
I jumped about a foot in the air and scrambled away from Kane, who stayed perfectly still on the floor.
Griffin and a handful of soldiers and guards crowded the doorway.
Commander, Kane greeted him casually. It's about time.
After we had left the wine cellar, Kane sent me to the infirmary while he and Griffin surveyed the damage. Thankfully, very few had been harmed in the explosion. I tended to a few concussed Peridot and Onyx revelers, and two prison guards who had taken the brunt of the burns from Halden's explosion. It may not have been my finest work, as I was still fairly sloshed, but thankfully my healing abilities were second nature. I hadn't gotten back to my room until the wee hours of the morning. My feet ached as I opened the door to my quarters. I felt his presence in the dimly lit bedroom instantly. Kane was lying on my bed, one hand behind his head, the picture of comfort. If I had a sack of coin for every time I found you somewhere you shouldn't be, I would be a very rich healer. A laugh breezed out of him. How was the infirmary? I slipped my shoes off, feet aching, and climbed into bed beside him in all my clothes. Exhausting. And I may have operated on some soldiers a little smashed. But they're tough. Who needs all five fingers anyway? He stared at me in shock until a laugh burst out of me. Kidding. Everyone seems to be fine, if a little shaken up. Sighing, I studied the knots in the wooden ceiling above us. He followed suit. I'm glad to hear it. I turned to face him. So, what happens now? My best spies are tracking the Amber Men as we speak. Tomorrow, Griffin and I will go after any leads they find. We need to catch them before they give Gareth and Lazarus any intel on me or Shadowhold. The entire keep and visiting Peridot nobles believe the disruption to be a kitchen mishap. Not much else we can do tonight. And how much trouble am I in? I prepared myself for the worst. Truth be told, Bird, I only blame myself. I should have known to never threaten someone you care about. You love too fiercely. I wanted to remind him I wasn't in love with Halden before I realized he didn't mean romantic love. His tolerance toward my betrayal was shocking. Well, I am sorry for my part in it. Had I known who he was? I had no idea how to finish that sentence. Kane just nodded and stared once more at the wooden slats of the ceiling above us. I have so many questions from earlier about the history of the Fae. Mari would probably vibrate with curiosity. Kane's mouth quirked up, but he didn't say more, and I didn't ask. Maybe I felt like, after what I had done to help Halden escape, I didn't deserve to grill him. We lay in comfortable silence for a moment. I wasn't sure if it was the wine still coursing through my veins, the relief of finally understanding the man beside me, or the late, strange hour of the night, but I couldn't find it in me to make myself hate Kane a minute longer. Truth was, I probably hadn't really hated him since our day in the forest.
Tell me about Abington.
His words caught me off guard, and I stiffened imperceptibly. I've already told you. What did you call it? A collection of huts. But he only shook his head and fixed his gaze on me.
No, the good. Tell me what you liked about growing up there.
It was easier than I expected to step back into the glade outside my house, the cobblestone streets, the small cottages and farmhouses. I could smell the crisp air, the year-round corn harvest, the steam billowing off my cranberry and apple tea, warm inside my chilly kitchen. It wasn't glamorous. We didn't have the finery that you have even here in the middle of the woods, but everyone was kind, tried to help each other. The taverns were warm and full. The sunsets were spectacular each night over the mountains. I don't know, it was home.
And your family? What are they like?
Lee, my little sister, is a menace. She's way too smart for her age and always speaks whatever is on her mind.
but she's so sharp, so witty, she really makes me laugh. You would love her. Ryder is the charmer. He has the kind of confidence even charlatans would follow blindly. I've never met anyone who wasn't completely enamored with him. Even our parents. And my mother? I turned to face Kane, whose expression had grown wistful. The twist in my heart forced me to trail off.
Your mother?
I cleared my throat. She used to sing while she cooked, when she was healthier. She always made up these songs that never sounded quite right, trying to rhyme celery and friendly and things like that. I smiled even though my throat was squeezing. She made everything better. Every bad day in school, every splinter, every time I felt so scared I couldn't breathe. She was ill my whole life and never complained. Not once. I'm sorry, Kane said, eyes almost wounded, about what this war has done to your home and to your family. I swear I will find them for you. I nodded because I believed him. And one day, when Lazarus is defeated, I will rebuild all the cities and villages like yours that fell. Restore homes, heal the injured.
I can help you with that last one, I said, before realizing how pathetic it sounded, practically begging him to keep me around, take me with him. His eyes lit with a new expression, something I couldn't quite place, there and gone like a flash of lightning.
Is healing your favorite thing to do, Bird? Or do you do it simply because of your gift?
I do love it, healing people, and I like that I'm good at it.
Is that conceited?
His mouth lifted in a smile.
Of course not. But my favorite thing to do, I love running. If I could, I would run each morning and night. I'd sleep like a baby. I really love flowers, too. I think I could have enjoyed being an herbalist. And Mari's gotten me quite into reading. I like the love stories and the epic, fantastical tales of pirates and conquerors. He huffed in amusement.
You don't like to read? I asked.
I do.
He tucked a rogue brown strand that had cluttered my face behind my ear, and my whole body lit up like a matchstick. I willed myself to be calm, but my toes twitched, and I was sure that he saw.
But, as you said tonight, I am old and dull. I like political tomes.
I feigned dying slowly from boredom, which earned me a gorgeous grin.
Fine. What else do you love? I needed more. I loved learning about the non-wicked king side of Cain. I pictured him in another life, buttering clover bread and reading a large, boring book in a little cottage by the sea while babies slept in the next room. Whether or not I was somewhere else in that cottage, taking a soapy bath, I tried not to dwell on.
Well, you know I loved playing the lute growing up. I liked to play chess with Griffin. He's the only one who can beat me.
Such a humble king, I teased.
Truth is, I don't do too much that I enjoy anymore.
The thought made me unbearably sad. Well, we'll have to change that. When this war is over, and you can spare a moment from your kingly duties, I will take you to my favorite grassy hill above my home in Amber. There is nothing a mug of cider and a sunset over the town square in Abington can't cure.
You're very good at that.
Good at what?
Relentless positivity.
Humor twitched at my lips. That doesn't sound like a good thing.
There is nothing more valuable in a world as dark as ours.
We were both on our sides now, staring at one another. There was far too little space between us, and also, somehow, too much.
It was torturous.
I searched my brain for another question to break the tension. The last time you surprised me like this, I still thought you were a prisoner. Why did you come visit me that night?
What do you mean?
The first time we met, you were in the dungeons to manipulate someone else for information. The second, you needed medical assistance.
I'm the only healer. You thought I might not help you if you admitted you were the king.
Fine, makes sense. But the third time you were just outside my cell, waiting for me. You told me you were seeing if I was still planning to run. But I didn't believe you then, and I sure don't now. So, why? He ran a hand over his jaw in thought.
What I told you that night was true. I had been dealing with something unpleasant. Afterward, I think I just wanted to be near you.
My pulse quickened, and I waited for more. More, more, more.
Not as the king I knew you hated, but as a man you had come to like.
He shook his head and sighed.
And a man I had come to like.
So I had been right after the day we raced to the pond. The monster act was a purposeful one, to be to others what he felt inside. I chose my next words carefully. You said a while ago that maybe I didn't think so highly of myself. Heat burned my cheeks at the admission, but I pressed on. That I had thought my life was worth less than my brother's. I realized, not long after, how little I had stood up for myself or thought of myself for so many years.
Is it possible you suffer from a similar affliction?
Cain wove my hand in his. His palm was rough and warm and dwarfed mine twice over.
Such a perceptive bird. I fear my condition is far worse. You have been surrounded by people who have told you such things. Dim-witted fools, all of them.
He was warring with whatever he wanted to say next, I could tell. I waited patiently.
I have harmed many people, Arwen. I bring pain wherever I go. I hurt people, often those I care about most.
I knew it was true, but it was worse hearing him admit it. There is always another day, Cain. A chance to make things right with them?
No, there isn't. His grave eyes glinted in the candlelight, and I released a slow breath.
Isn't that a little definitive? Everyone is capable of redemption.
They're dead, Arwen, because of me.
I started at the harshness of his words. The self-loathing and pain entwined in them. No wonder he thought he was a monster.
There is no redemption, he continued, pulling his hand from mine. Only revenge.
Sounds like a very lonely way to live.
Yes.
He said it like he deserved such an existence. Is that why? It was a delicate question to phrase, but it had been burning in my mind for too long. You've never taken a queen?
I'm not sure that's a fitting punishment for anyone, he said, a bitter laugh falling from his lips. Even by my standards, and love of torture, as you like to say. Nobody deserves to suffer the eternal fate of being my wife.
Self-deprecating Cain. That was new.
Or maybe not.
I hadn't known him all that well until tonight, I realized. He sat up a little bit.
For what it's worth, Griffin is a much bigger fan of those tactics you claim I love than I've ever been. Very tough military parents. He even once suggested we get you to talk in such a way.
Cain's eyes went viciously black at some memory, and my heart raced. Get me to talk? To say what?
There was a blade taken from my vault years ago. Griffin thought maybe you might know something, since our last lead at the time was in Amber. It's what your pigeon-brained lover was looking for.
He said the word with a grimace. I was sick of Cain assuming Halden and I had been together, in that way, when we hadn't. Especially now that I knew what Halden was capable of. He was never my lover. We didn't...
I drew in an awkward breath.
I haven't. With anyone.
He had been right that day in the throne room. And something about the strange hour of the night, like a private pocket of our own, coupled with our closeness on a bed, was pulling intimate admissions from me. Maybe I was still drunk.
His expression was unreadable, but he had the decency to move past my unnecessary confession.
But you felt something for him?
I'm not sure. I think he was what was expected of me, and I wanted very badly to be what my family wanted. I didn't feel anything when we kissed in the dungeons, though.
Shit.
Definitely still drunk. Kane's eyes were like razors skating over me. His jaw had gone rigid. I cringed. What?
Fuck.
He sighed, running a hand down his tense face.
I want to eradicate him for getting to touch you, let alone kiss you. It's making me physically sick.
He rested his face in his hand.
Since when am I such a jealous schoolboy?
My heart walloped, and I thought a smile. I was becoming addicted to his confessions. But if I recall, I'm not exactly your type.
His face twisted, dark brows pulling in. I'm not sure whatever compelled me to say that.
I think I had insulted you.
One of the many attractive things you do so well.
The word attractive falling from his mouth imprinted on my brain like a wax seal, and I blushed, suddenly wishing my room was even darker. There was nowhere to hide my face this close to his. His golden skin glowed in the soft candlelight. His beauty was almost alarming this close up. He looked at me in earnest.
It was a very rude thing of me to say, and likely said in self-preservation. Forgive me, Arwen. Nothing has ever been further from the truth.
Maybe I should have told him how I felt, but it was too much for me to even begin to share. Bigger than me, bigger than him. Truthfully, it frightened me. All I knew for certain was that I trusted him more now than I had ever expected to, and that I should tell him about my plans to get the burrow route tomorrow night during the eclipse. Maybe he could help me make it safely in and out of the woods, unscathed. But I didn't have the energy left to argue with him if he deemed it unsafe. After everything he had told me about the Fey King and the woods beyond the castle, I doubted he'd want to risk any of his guards' lives, or even less his own, to get a single blossom for my mother, who I might never see again, for a potion that might not even work. My eyelids had started to feel like lead pulling my lashes down. My entire head was heavy from the wine and the onslaught of information I had learned tonight. Kane ran a few lazy fingers through my hair, lulling my eyes shut and slowing my spinning mind. I'd ask him about the burrow route first thing tomorrow.
20. The pounding in my skull was an outrageous cacophony of pain. It was as if my head was a cellar below a ballroom of giants. Clumsy, drunken giants. I groaned as I stumbled from bed and splashed my face with lukewarm water in the washroom. Summer was here in earnest, and I was dripping with sweat despite the hour. I had slept until late afternoon and then lain in bed until sundown, unable to move, contemplating everything Kane had said last night, both in the wine cellar and afterward. Halden's questions in the dungeon felt so obvious now. I wondered how much Gareth had told him about his plans to sell all of Evendel out to Lazarus. A small corner of my mind told me Halden likely knew it all and still fought for him. The guilt of helping him escape was crushing. And yet Kane had not mocked me for my choices, nor had he threatened me with any punishment. I had quite literally committed treason, and all he felt was rage on my behalf, fury that someone had left me behind. Truth was, he was more furious than I had been. Even before Kane revealed the truth about Halden or the Fae, I knew I had never felt as much for Halden as I had for Kane in just the past few months. Granted, some of what I felt had been pure, seething hatred, but still, it was wild how just a little time away from Amber had completely changed my almost lifelong feelings
for the fair-haired boy. What once felt all-consuming and charged was a blurry memory to me now, the same way one might look back on their first novel or taste of chocolate and think it was the best the continent had to offer. I didn't know how many other facets of my previous life would suffer from a similar realization. Cain was gone when I rose with the setting sun, as I knew he would be, and I was grateful. I needed to talk to Mari. She didn't know I was still here. For all she knew, I had left with Halden and the others. I needed to tell her everything Cain had revealed, and also that we had almost kissed. Knowing Mari, that would interest her even more. Lee would have been the most thrilled. Her crush back in Abington may have been right all along. Minus the wings, there were likely fae all over this kingdom. At the thought of Lee, my blood ran cold. My mother, the eclipse. Shit, I had slept too late. Shit. The eclipse was tonight. I grabbed my pack and threw my training leathers on frantically. How could I have been so stupid? So sick from wine and caught up in my own ridiculous, almost romance with some dark king that I had nearly missed the chance to save my own mother. I had to focus. If I failed tonight, there would be plenty of time to beat myself up over the next year while I waited for the moon to hide itself again. I needed to find Cain, and quickly. He had been honest with me last night, and now I was going to be honest with him. I would beg him to take me back to the site of the burrow root. I wasn't daring enough to face the forest at night alone, and he was the only person I trusted to get me there safely. When I made it to the throne room, the sentries regarded me with ice in their eyes. I didn't blame them. Three prisoners had escaped last night. I would be on edge, too. "Good evening. I'd like an audience with the king. Can you tell him it's Arwen Vallandale?"
"He's not here, Lady Arwen."
"Where can I find him? Or Commander Griffin?" The taller guard looked at the one with the mustache. Mustache shook his head.
"They're not in Shadowhold, miss," said Tall.
My stomach sank to the floor. "Well, where are they? When will they be back?" Then I remembered. Cain had said he'd be tracking down Halden. Shit. Too much wine was my enemy yet again. Mustache widened his stance and put his hands on his waist as if trying to intimidate an animal.
"I think you'd best run along."
I could have fought with them, begged for more information, but time was running out. I turned on my heel and ran toward the apothecary. The lanterns were all out in the small room. "Doggin!" I shouted, but the hollow bounce of my own voice against the wooden walls told me I was alone. He would have been a tough sell anyway. I looked through the marbled windows at the warped moon in the sky. I had an hour at most. Silver moonlight glistened on something out of the corner of my eye, and I spun to see Doggin's sword and scabbard tossed in the closet. He must have left it there when I missed my lesson this morning. I made a mental note to apologize for that and for what I was about to do. I grabbed the heavy weapon, slung it over my back, and hurtled toward the stables. Once there, I guided a horse from her stall and hoped the sound of her hooves on the dirt path wasn't as loud to everyone else as it was to me. I squinted in the clear night air, but could only discern a couple of guards. The north gate was much smaller than the castle entrance, as it was backed up against a denser expanse of forest. Past the woods was a smattering of mountains, meaning it was much harder for enemies to gain access this way. I had to think quickly. The moon was high in the sky, and I had exactly zero idea how to get myself and a horse past the six or so guards at the gate. I could probably find a way alone, but the horse was going to be a no-go. Maybe that was it. The horse was impossible to hide. She could serve as my decoy. I'd have to run to get to the clearing in time, but I had a shot. Without another thought, I whispered an apology to the horse and smacked her hindquarters. She took off like a creature possessed. The guards followed her, trying to grasp at her reins, but the poor thing was spooked and beyond catching. I hoped they would be kind to her once she was returned to the stables. When there was only one guard still standing by the gate, the others trying to corner the rogue mare, I bolted. If I could make it through the metal entrance before he caught me, I knew I could outrun the guard. In the time it would take for the Onyx soldiers to get their steeds and catch me, I would have the burrow route. I could face the consequences after. I moved swiftly, sticking to the dark corners of the castle's outer edge. I was almost at the gates when I lost my footing and flew forward. I landed hard on my wrist and felt instant, searing pain. But that was going to have to be a problem for later. Looking behind me, I saw the spiked metal trap embedded in the grass. It was peppered throughout the entire courtyard that surrounded the north gate. So, less manned, but not less protected. I should have known. I shot up, and my heart dropped into my stomach with a thud. I was staring directly at the guard. It was the same rosy-cheeked, yellow-bearded young man from the day Mari helped me visit Halden in his cell. I braced myself to be manhandled back into the castle, possibly the dungeons. My mouth opened, an argument prepared on my tongue. But I hesitated. His expression, it was blank. He said nothing as he stared at me, not even at me, though. Almost right through me. As if I wasn't standing right in front of him, covered in dirt and clutching my wrist, the guard furrowed his brow at something just past my head and tracked past me toward where I had fallen. He kicked at the metal trap with his shoe in confusion. I had no idea how I had gotten so lucky, but I wasn't going to wait around to find out. I took off through the gate for the clearing. As I ran, it hit me. Mari's spell had never worn off. I had to remember to tell her that her simple cloaking spell might have worked a bit too well. Was it Briar's amulet? Maybe it was time to return the enchanted item to Kane's study. The Shadow Woods were far more ominous at night. Gnarled branches made monstrous shapes in the shadows, and thorny bushes tore at my leathers. It was also far colder. Despite being at the peak of a sweltering summer, the enchanted, ancient Shadow Woods were chilling at nighttime, and a cool fog swam around my ankles. I wished I had brought the fox fur for warmth and comfort, like a little girl afraid of things I couldn't see in the dark. I tried to remind myself that I had been here during the daytime and felt safe, but it was less than helpful. I had been safe because I was surrounded by guards and horses, men who could protect me, and Kane. I ran hard, breath punching out of my lungs. Nothing better for my fear than sprinting. Still, my thoughts landed back on the king. I had done exactly what he'd asked me not to do. Snuck into the woods, at night, while he was gone. Even though I was no longer planning my escape, he would still be furious. The feeling of weakness was back once again as I rounded a fallen log and recalled how close I was to the clearing. It felt like more of my life than not was spent feeling weak and guilty. A small corner of my mind wondered if ending up in Shadowhold might have been my only chance at changing that. The heavy thump from Doggin's sword hitting my back with each step told me that maybe my instinct was right. I still hoped I wouldn't have to use it, though. It would be my first time fighting something other than Doggin, who, despite not being the warmest fellow, did not actually wish to see me dead. Plus, I had Doggin's sword, not my own. It was heavier than mine by at least double and required both hands to wield, while mine only needed one. I didn't want to think of how difficult it would be to swing the piece around with my now sprained wrist. My lungs weren't as accustomed to runs such as these anymore, and by the time I arrived at the clearing, I was gasping. In the watery moonlight, the wet grass shone silver, and the trees looked like one tangled black spiderweb. I had been fortunate to find my way through the dark maze, despite coming from the north gate this time. Now I needed to find the oak tree. But it all looked the same, and the eclipse would be any minute. I was running out of time. Bleeding stones, I breathed. I couldn't have made it all this way in time for nothing. Deep in the spiky bushes behind me, a wet, sloshing sound cut through the deafening quiet of night. I went stiff as a corpse and whirled my head to listen closer, my whole body recoiling at the undeniable sound of a creature feasting on something, or someone, that had not survived the night. I dropped to the ground and crawled toward the bushes on my knees and elbows. Through the scraping twigs and spongy moss, I slinked until I could see through the thorns of the bushes and just barely make out the carcass of a deer. A scream lodged in my throat at the sight before me. Devouring the deer's supple body were two lion-like creatures. I recognized them as chimeras, and particularly nasty ones at that. I had never seen the nocturnal creatures before, but had read about them in one of Mari's favorite books, Onyx's Most Foul. Beady eyes with no pupils, gruesome, snarling snouts, long, fanged teeth protruding from their mouths, coated in drool and meat. Their faces were so sleek and threatening, their gnarled claws so caked with dirt and blood, that my stomach turned from pure fear and I thought I might vomit. Before I could scramble backward and heave out last night's wine, I noticed where they were feasting. The poor doe was laid across the roots of the familiar oak tree. Shit. I racked my brain. What did that stone's damned book say about chimeras? Mari had been talking nonstop that day in the library, so I had only made it a few sentences through the chapter on chimeras. Instead of knowledge of the creatures, I knew every detail of Mari's favorite swimming hole in the Shadow Woods, which her father would take her to when the summers became too hot to bear. I knew nothing about the beasts in front of me, but I did know how Owen always made sure to bring an altruistic soldier or two with them because the woods were so unsafe. How her favorite guard had been an older man who always called her Brainy Braids because she would wear these braids that, oh, stones. That was it. The water, it was safe. Chimeras couldn't swim. My eyes found the tree-covered path that Cain had taken me through all those months ago. This was a uniquely stupid plan, even for me, but I had no other options. I needed the creatures away from the oak tree so I could access the root when it bloomed. I was not going to turn around and spend the rest of my life knowing that if I ever saw my mother again, I'd had the chance to help her and didn't take it out of fear. I dumped the sword and slid it under the bush in front of me. I couldn't run fast enough with it strapped to my back, and it would be a good marker for the burrow route when I made my way back. If I made my way back. And to be honest, I couldn't use it with my wrist in this shape anyway. I would leave it in the woods altogether if it weren't Doggins. It would be a shame to defeat not one, but two horrific creatures, only for Doggin to kill me. I made my way to the hollowed-out path in the trees that Cain had shown me, took a breath to quiet my nerves, and whistled at the chimeras. The piercing tune sliced through the silent woods and sent smaller animals scurrying. The two vicious creatures turned to face me, confusion and hunger in their eyes. The smaller of the two, with small, pointed ears, a wild mane, and rigid goat horns, ambled toward me, seemingly more curious than anything else. But that was all I needed. I picked up a couple of pebbles and nailed her in the head once, then twice. She pawed at her jutting brow and picked up speed, snarling. And then I ran. 21. I raced through the leafy corridor that Cain and I had once traipsed through. Through dew-covered spiderwebs and spindly twigs, I threw myself forward at a pace that had my pulse screaming in my head, hearing the lumbering thumps of the chimera's footfalls behind me all the while. I just had to get her in the water, and then I could double back for the burrow route. Finally, I made it to the pond. I turned on a heel and waited for the creature to lunge for me. It didn't take long. The chimera snarled, moonlight glinting off its bone-white fangs. All the breath puffed out of my lungs, and when it charged, I grabbed its fur and threw us both into the pond. The freezing water paralyzed me, and for a moment I couldn't move any of my limbs. All I knew was ice so cold it felt like fire, and my mind and body froze into utter stillness, too shocked to breathe or move or think, but I had to. I forced my head out of the suffocating blanket of cold and gasped for breath. A wave sent me back under, filling my mouth and lungs and nose as the chimera thrashed and displaced half the pond's water. The frigid rush sent me flying toward the rocky outcrop. I slammed into it, the breath knocked from me, and surfaced again, like a moth in rain, fighting against the dark waves and searching for anything to grab onto. Why was the water so cold? I had been here mere months ago, in the spring, too, and it had been lovely. I knew the forest was enchanted, but it was clear Mari and Kane had been right. The Shadow Wood was no place to be at night. I reached for a branch and swung myself up and out of the water, sending my wrist into torturous spasms. Freezing water gurgled out of my mouth. I panted for air. A horrific wail of agony shook me from my reprieve. I looked to the pond, but the chimera was unconscious, possibly dead already. One down, one to go, and quickly, if I was to avoid whatever was making those noises, or inflicting them. Water and algae sluiced from my leathers. I ran for the clearing and prayed the action would pump heat into my chattering bones. In the moonlight, I could scarcely make out the large, sleek form hurtling toward me. The noise pierced through the night again, ripping from its jaws in a strangled roar. The other kind